The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This is Ramona Nafee from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading theater and movie reviews to you from around the Triangle region. So this time around, we've got a couple of theater productions, some interesting arts, and as usual, several movies. Coming up in theater, we have Brigadoon on September 9th, being done by Burning Coal. Nixon Frost on September 16th by Justice Theater Project, and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at the end of September by Carrie Players. And then on a further time horizon, Red by Playmakers and Legally Blonde by North Carolina Theater, all being done in October. Now on the arts scene in September, we have in the Carolina Ballet, An Evening with Robert Weiss on September 30th. On September 9th, the North Carolina Symphony Radio broadcasts and their free Pops in the City concert on September 9th. And then some interesting things coming up at the North Carolina Museum of History. Then for the movies, all of these being shown at Regal White Oak Stadium 14 in Garner and Regal North Hill Stadium 14 in Raleigh. The new movies that we have this time around are Premium Rush, The Apparition, and The Expendables 2. And the returning movies are Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, Hope Springs, The Bourne Legacy, The Campaign, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Odd Life of Timothy Green. So we'll go ahead and begin with theater, and we actually have a treat here with a theater review on the Nixon Frost show. So with that said, we'll begin with Brigadoon. Brigadoon is being done by Burning Coal Theater. Their audio-described production is September 9th. The classic American musical tells the story of two Wall Street men who journey on a hunting trip to Scotland. While deep in the misty woods, they discover a small town that isn't on any map. Once inside, they discover something rarer still about the town and themselves. Brigadoon brings to light the importance of love, even when faced with impossible obstacles. Their full run is September 6th through the 23rd, but their audio described performance, as I mentioned, is Sunday, September the 9th. You can learn more about it by going to their webpage, burningcoal.org. They actually have a trailer online that you can listen to at burningcoal.org/brigadoon. And if you're interested, you can also call the theater, 919-834-4001. Now, associated with the production, exactly 1 week after the audio-described performance, is a lecture. This is Lisa Grell Berry, president of the North Carolina Theater, presenting the lobby lecture, Musical Theater, a Unique American Art Form. It's going to be done at 6 p.m., so after the performance, 6 p.m. on Saturday. Well, actually, the Saturday performance, so Saturday, September 15th. A thing to know about this one is the lecture is free to anyone with a ticket to any of the Brigadoon performances. So you can certainly go see Brigadoon and then come back the following Saturday evening and listen to the lecture. So again, it's burningcoal.org and 919-834-4001. Okay, our next show is Nixon Frost. The audio described performance of this one is the next week, September 16th. It's being done by Justice Theater Project. In 1977, former President Richard Nixon granted interview privileges to David Frost, a British talk show host with a Playboy reputation. Fees were negotiated, topics were vetted. Both hoped for an outcome that would put them back on top of their respective games. This Tony-nominated show shows the behind-the-scenes scramble as Frost strives to elicit an apology from Nixon for the Watergate scandal that no other interviewer had been able to secure. Their run is September 7th through the 23rd, and the audio-described performance is Sunday, September the 16th. There's information online at www.thejusticetheaterproject.org, or you can call them 919-264-7089. They have multiple discussions around this show. On Saturday, September the 15th, 7 p.m., so it's the Saturday evening before the audio-described performance, there is a roundtable discussion on political responsibility. And the Sunday after the performance, so 1 week after the audio-described performance, there is a post-show discussion with Jim Reston, whose book inspired the play. And we do have a review of this show. The review is written by Lori Wiggins and appeared in the News and Observer. The Justice Theater Project is at it again, pricking our collective consciousnesses with a season-long discussion about political responsibility. Just in time to wrap our heads around our responsibility as democratic citizens in a presidential election year, JTP will open its 2012-2013 season, We Are Called, with Peter Morgan's Tony Award-nominated Frost Nixon. The historical drama depicts the story of the 1977 interview former President Richard Nixon granted to David Frost, a British talk show host with a Playboy reputation who vowed to give Richard Nixon the trial he never had. The play, directed by Carnessa Otlin, explores the scenes of the interview, including the role of advisors on both sides and the fees paid. It highlights Nixon's expectation that Frost would fail and revive Nixon's reputation, and Frost's determination to force Nixon to apologize and admit his involvement in wrongdoings. In the final interview recordings, the impeached president admitted he had made unethical decisions and committed unethical acts. "I let them down," Nixon told Frost. "I let down my friends. I let down my country, and worst of all, I let down our system of government and the dreams of all those young people that ought to get into government but now think, oh, it's all too corrupt and the rest. Yeah, I let the American people down, and I'm going to have to carry that burden with me for the rest of my life. My political life is over." JTP's production couldn't be timelier. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the 1972 Watergate break-in, and it's been 38 years since Nixon's 1974 resignation speech. Our country also is in the throes of a presidential election season that includes campaigns too often reduced to political posturing and avoidance of real issues. Let's also not forget the big screen box office is abuzz with The Campaign, a comedy about two North Carolinians vying for a seat in Congress and the lengths to which they'll go to win. "It's poking fun, but it's not too far from the truth," said Deb Royals-Mazurk, JTP's artistic director. Mazurk says she hopes JTP's season, which also will include Julius Caesar and Ragtime, will remind us we are called to examine our political responsibility and to participate with purpose in elections. We are called to consider how U.S. policies can relieve or worsen poverty in every sense, at home and across the world, she said. And we are called to identify and seek opportunities for change that exist within our community. Frost Nixon is the perfect place to start, Mazurk said, because the show represents performance, social justice, political engagement, and media perspective. "It's a great comment on where we are right now," she said. "All of these things are pervasive in our elections." "It's a good way to have a different kind of conversation before our election," she added. "Why are we electing people? Because their shirt and tie match? Because of their language? What should we really be talking about? What roles do media play? What role does money play? What role does lack of conversation around the true description of what we need in political leaders play? We need to have a conversation about what we need to talk about and about what's getting in the way of a clear conversation." Mazurk also hopes the conversation will begin at the theater. There will be opportunities to register to vote at each show, On opening night, a reception will be offered after the show, and the September 15th show will feature a pre-show roundtable discussion, politics, conscience, and the media. On September 23rd, a post-show discussion at 3:30 will feature author James Reston Jr., upon whom the play's Jim Reston's character is based. While Reston, a Moorhead scholar, was teaching English at UNC Chapel Hill in 1977, he was recruited by Frost to be his Watergate advisor and to devise the strategy for interrogating Nixon. The play is based on Reston's participation in the Frost-Nixon interviews and his book, The Conviction of Richard Nixon, which he wrote afterward in Chapel Hill in 1977, but did not publish until 2007. Reston will show footage of the actual interviews and then speak about his experience. So you can go online and learn all about the play at www.thejusticetheaterproject.org, or you can give them a call, 919-264-7089. And then very briefly, we've got three other plays coming up. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. That one's going on September 30th by the Cary Players. And their webpage is www.caryplayers.org. No phone number, but you can find them online, caryplayers.org. And then moving into October, Playmakers is doing Red with an audio-described performance on Tuesday, October 2nd. Their webpage is playmakersrep.org. Their phone number, 919-962-7529. And Legally Blonde on October the 13th by North Carolina Theater, Broadway Series South. And again, online, nctheater.com. And their phone number, 919-831-6941, extension 6944. Now, if you would like more information about any of these upcoming plays or reminders about the other two, please call the Triangle Radio Reading Service, 919-832-5138, and ask for me, and I'd be happy to talk with you more about any of these particular showtimes or any of the other details. So, for the upcoming arts scene, we do have a show coming up from the Carolina Ballet. This is on September 30th. It's an evening with Robert Weiss. To open the 15th season, Carolina Ballet presents an evening of ballet by Robert Weiss, highlighting several of his ballets created on the company. The centerpiece is Symposium, based on Plato's dialogue of the same name and choreographed in 2004 to Leonard Bernstein's Serenade. Their audio-described performance is Sunday, September 30th. And you can reach them at 919-719-0900 or visit the webpage www.carolinaballet.com. Again, the ballet line is 919-719-0900. So for the North Carolina Symphony, they just have one more left of their summer evening broadcasts. The last one that they did, the one that's currently online, was Carmina Burana. This has additional music by Pollink and Orff. And September 3rd is their final radio broadcast show for the season. They're doing Mozart's Requiem. Now, as a reminder, these are broadcast, and these last one is broadcast on WUNC 91.5, Monday evening at 10 o'clock. Or they are also streamed online, and you can get the link to that stream from the webpage ncsymphony.org/broadcasts. It's a recording of the actual concert with extra features, interviews with the musicians and soloists, and additional insights into the compositions. So probably the best thing to do is listen to it streamed online. That's ncsymphony.org/broadcasts. And then they do have a free concert. Celebrate with the North Carolina Symphony as they launch their 80th season. Enjoy a free concert outdoors in the heart of downtown Raleigh. and performing selections for every musical taste and highlighting a wonderful legacy of service to the people and schools of the Old North State. And also upcoming concerts that they have in September, Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody will be September 14th and 15th. Brahms' First Symphony is September 20th, and that one's being done in Chapel Hill. And then one of their Pops series, The Music of Ray Charles, that one is September 28th and 29th. Those are in Raleigh. So Pops in the City on September 9th, free concert. You can find out more from ncsymphony.org. And as I said, we do have an extra thing to talk about. The North Carolina Museum of History is opening the exhibit Reel to Reel, The Making of Gone with the Wind. This exhibit opens on August 31st. The exhibit continues through January, but there are several free programs at the museum that complement the exhibit that I thought you might be interested in. Since we go through movies quite a bit, letting you know on Saturday, September 8th, they are going to be showing the movie Gone with the Wind. Sadly, there's no information on audio description for that showing. But very interestingly, Saturday and Sunday, on September 22nd and 23rd, so later in the month, there is a curator's choice tour, and it's actually led by James Tumblin, who's the owner of the memorabilia featured in the exhibit. So a good chance there to go and ask questions and listen to all of his information about what's in there. And of course, as the owner of the material, he'd probably have some really great insights into the selections. And then a couple of lectures. Sunday, September 23rd, it's actually the same day as that Curator's Choice Tour, there's a lecture on the South and American popular culture. And then on Sunday, October 7th, there is a lecture on the Civil War in fiction and film. So that sounded very interesting to me. I thought they might be interesting to you. So for more information about Reel to Reel, and that's R-E-A-L and then R-E-E-L, so a little fun with language there. So Reel to Reel, The Making of Gone with the Wind, has information from the North Carolina Museum of History online at www.ncmuseumofhistory.org, or you can call them 919-807-7900. Again, 919-807-7900 or ncmuseumofhistory.org. Okay, and that brings us to movies. We do have an awful lot of movies and not a lot of time, so jumping right into it, we have 3 new movies and 6 returning movies. All of these are showing at Regal White Oak Stadium 14 in Garner and Regal North Hill Stadium 14 in Raleigh with descriptive video. You'll definitely want to call ahead and confirm the show times. White Oak in Garner is at 919-676-3456. And in Raleigh, it's 919-786-4511. Again, in Garner, 676-3456. Nice and easy to remember. And in Raleigh, 786-4511. You can always look those up online. So the returning movies, if we don't get a chance to get to them, the returning movies are Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, Hope Springs, The Bourne Legacy, The Campaign, which they mentioned in the Nixon Frost review, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Odd Life of Timothy Green. And our new movies are Premium Rush, The Apparition, and The Expendables 2. Okay, Premium Rush. The review is by Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. Premium Rush is a breakneck chase movie about the daredevils who work as Manhattan bicycle messengers. With a map of the city imprinted in their brains, they hurtle down sidewalks, run red lights, go against traffic, jump obstacles, and insist on using bikes without brakes. The title refers to the extra charge for fast delivery. It may also refer to the film's adrenaline. The characters may not be deeply drawn, but you have to look fast to see them. This is an impressively skilled production that credits about a dozen stunt riders and even more CGI techs, and is never less than convincing as it shows messengers speeding fearlessly into traffic and threading their way through trucks that could flatten them. In the story told by Premium Rush, it's less of a job, more of a noble mission, as three messengers outrace the NYPD to deliver a ticket that only one of them knows the story behind. It's to pay passage to the United States for the young son of the Chinese heroine who worked three jobs to raise the money. Wiley, think Wiley Coyote, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is lean and intense, is said to be the best bike messenger in Manhattan, which is why Nima asks for him. She needs the ticket delivered to a woman who will make that crucial call to China. But also in need of the ticket is a rotten cop named Bobby Monday, desperately played by Michael Shannon, whose gambling debts have him in mortal peril. The movie's first chase involves Wiley's bike and Monday's unmarked police car. And that's about it. You're looking for depth and profundity, this is the wrong movie. But under the direction of David Cope, this is an expert and spellbinding adventure. And it's showing at 4 showtimes in Raleigh, around, these are approximations, but around 2:30, 5, 7:30, and 10. And it's also showing it 4 times in Garner, like 1, 4:30, 7, 9:30. So several options there. Our next movie is The Apparition. The review here is by Catherine Monk of the National Post. The trailer is scarier than the movie. But unlike most things in life, this is a kind of disappointment you can live with quite happily. After all, if the apparition had really worked some movie magic, it would have left the viewer looking at the mold in the shower as the initial stages of demonic haunting, and the clothes dryer as a portal to hell. Now, given the things I've seen in frat houses, they may well be, but for the most part, this movie fails at its central purpose, which is to make the mundane feel menacing. The whole premise of the movie maintains that what you create in your mind, you make real. Now that's terrifying. It's also believably true. You have to give Lincoln a little credit for trying to go old school and restraining himself from using too many special effects and computer-generated images in his bid to make us afraid. Psychological horror is usually the one facet of the genre that affects people the most, because it's all in your head, and movies are a shortcut to the subconscious. They can rev the engine of paranoia by making us question basic reality. Now, Lincoln is desperate to take us there, but it's tough to be convinced when the story keeps slacking off and the script feels garbled and glued together. All you're left with are long shots of Green stumbling around in the darkness with various pieces of equipment, or static shots of the abandoned subdivision. In so many ways, a missed opportunity. The apparition looked like it could conjure a few scares in telling the story of a couple haunted by an entity they helped release, but this Ashley Green vehicle fades into the void with a yawn. And just to let you know, this was about the kindest review I could find of the movie. So, if you are interested in it, it is showing at 4 different short showtimes in North Hills, 2, 4:30, 7, and 9:30. And then, coincidentally, those same 4 times in Garner, 2, 4:30, 7:30, and 9:30. So it looks like a little bit more of an evening leaning there. And then our final new movie to look at is The Expendables 2. The review here is by James Berendinelli of Real Views. The Expendables 2 does not defy expectations. It defines them. If you think you know what the movie will deliver, you're probably right. No surprises, no twists. Even more than the original The Expendables, this feels like an homage to the 80s. Although maybe that's because of the higher-profile parts for Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger, whose cameos have been expanded to supporting roles. Joining the party are Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris. And the much-feared PG-13 neutering did not happen. The Expendables 2 glories in carnage to a degree where it's almost impossible to imagine how much cutting would be needed to avoid an R. Now, on the whole, The Expendables 2 is more satisfying than The Expendables. With Stallone no longer behind the camera, the action scenes are better staged and more competently presented. There's more humor than in the first installment, though nearly all of the good one-liners are given to Schwarzenegger. The action is fast and brutal, and if it doesn't raise the pulse much, at least it's flashy. The plot is a by-the-numbers affair that feels like it was dusted off the shelf as a rejected 80s Bond movie. But The Expendables 2 isn't about character development or narrative inventiveness. It's about kicking ass, blowing up things, and spending time in the comfort of a darkened theater surrounded by 80s action icons. The core members of The Expendables remain the same. The leader is Barney Ross, Stallone. Van Damme gets to play the bad guy, cleverly named Villain, which guarantees him a big one-on-one with Stallone at the end. Willis is Mr. Church, the man who hires the Expendables, and Schwarzenegger is Trench, a rival who collaborates to pay back a debt. Chuck Norris reprises his role as John Booker from 1978's Good Guys Wear Black. And as for the plot, we don't need no stinking plot. It's something about Villain finding a stash of weapons-grade plutonium deep in a mine and trying to get it out using slave labor. He wants to flood the black market with it. 5 tons of the stuff can make a lot of bombs. The Expendables are all that stand in his way. For Barney, it's not just about national security, it's personal. He has a score to settle with Villain. The whole movie exists as a setup for the big climax. Not a lot needs to be said or written about The Expendables 2, which does exactly what it's supposed to do. No more, no less. Since most viewers will go to this movie with a firm understanding of what they're getting, the sequel is unlikely to disappoint. In fact, because it offers more than teases with Schwarzenegger and Willis, it can be said to be more satisfying. This is a basic, generic action filmmaking, as much a throwback to the 80s as many of the actors who grace the screen. Those with a desire to overdose on testosterone need look no further. And if you would like to overdose on testosterone, it is showing at 4 times in Raleigh, at 2, 5, 7:30, and 10, and 4 times in Garner, 2, 4:30, 7:30, and 10. And just as a reminder to get the exact showtimes, you want to go ahead and call the theaters. White Oak in Garner, that's 919-676-3456. And North Hills in Raleigh is 919-786-4511. So, it looks like we're not going to have time to go to those returning movies, but we certainly heard about them before. So, here we are at the end. We have run out of time. For today's episode of Theater Reviews, be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ramona Nafee, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long until next time.